No matter who you are, where you live, or what you do, we all face situations where we are not sure where to turn or what to do. It can be unsettling when everything around us, the government, the economy, even the medical and scientific communities, is shaken. The good news is that while our world can be shaken, our God is unshakable. Join us as we learn how to trust God and exercise heroic faith in uncertain times.
All right, well, good morning again. I want to invite you just to put your hands together for our first-time guests and those online as well. Let's just give them applause. Hey, glad you're here. Really glad you're here. If it is your first time, we want to say thank you for joining with us. We celebrate you being here. We're glad that you are out and about worshiping God and honored that you chose to join us here at Hillside. Also, I do like to make this plug. If it is your first time, hey, we've got a gift for you on your way out today. We want to put that in your hands. So, just politely say, where's my gift? All right, as you're leaving this morning, it's worthwhile. You want to get it. But today we continue in a series we've been in called Heroic Faith. And if you have your Bibles, you could turn to the book of Exodus and chapter 33. We'll be getting there in just a moment. But I wanted us to do the tithes and offerings before I share. I like to once a month share of where your generosity is going. And so as a church, your resources help make a difference globally. We partner with two global missions organizations. Last month, we were able to give a significant gift to one of our ministries in Kenya, in Africa, doing a tremendous work. Well, today, I just wanted to highlight one of the incredible partners that we have locally, because this November is unlike any November we've had as a church. Usually, during the month of November, we are collecting Thanksgiving baskets to partner with Hope Southern Indiana. I want to let you know your giving has already partnered with Hope Southern Indiana. I want to thank you for your generosity. They had a need of over 160 families that are needing Thanksgiving baskets. Now, we're partnering with other churches and organizations. We've made a significant donation to their ministry this year. You can imagine with some of the details surrounding COVID, we wanted to just put you in a good way and ourselves in reaching out to those. And hopefully, as I've been in communication with them, next year, we'll be able to collect our baskets, and of course, as so many of you have done in times past, you get to go pray and encourage those families as well. But thank you. Come on, give yourselves a round of applause for your generosity. Y'all are awesome, and thank you, as always, for helping make that possible. Okay, today, we continue our Heroic Faith series. And what we've been doing Sunday to Sunday is looking at an individual's life. And we're going to continue this Sunday looking at the same person, Moses. As I was preparing for this week, as those of you that have prepared a message before, or you'll know that sometimes God speaks to you, even though you had one direction, he kind of pivots and you have to go in another direction. Or rather, he invites you into another direction. And today, I'm sharing, and it was a pivot this week, had a message lined up, had a direction I wanted to go, but really recognized something that you will see throughout Scripture in the life of the heroes of our faith, and you will see it in the life of Moses, and it is the presence of God. I want you just to think of those three words, four really, the presence of God. One of the things in my spiritual life, especially as a pastor, that makes me urgent is what we're going to talk about today, the presence of God. I think for many followers of Christ, I think for people that may be doubters and are just intrigued with Christianity, one of the things they may not recognize is the mystery of the presence of God and how God wants to be known by you. Actually wants to know what you're walking through, how you're walking through it, and he wants to provide a peace that passes all understanding. He wants to provide a hope that passes all understanding. He recognizes the fears that you and I carry. He knows what loss looks like. He's lost, right? some loves in his life. He's lost some children in his life. He's lost some deep-seated relationships in his life. People have walked away. He knows the pain. We walk through, he knows the difficult losses, trajectory of our life, some of the hiccups, the hang-ups we have with God. Many people, though, try to solve that difficulty, try to solve that pain, try to solve that loss with more knowledge of God, when God wants to be known by you. And a pivotal maturing in every believer's life is where I call it the 18-inch drop or the 18-inch journey, where God and knowing about him moves from here to here. Obviously, come on, we're all mature adults. We know God doesn't physically live in our heart, but you get what I'm saying. In our soul, God can be known. He longs to be known by you. One of the things I'm most thankful for in my journey of life is that my parents were never satisfied with me simply being able to memorize a scripture as I was growing up, simply being able to do sword drills. Those of you, shout out to a Baptist background, do you remember those? You just sword, like who could find a verse, who can memorize? Those things are great. They're good in equipping you. But can I tell you, you were created to be known by God, created to be loved by God, to experience his peace, to experience his forgiveness, to experience his mercy, and not simply to know doctrine. Doctrine's important, but the Bible points us to the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. And so today, we're going to pull back, and we're going to look at Moses. We're going to look at the hero of Moses, and I want to create a foundation in your own life for you to lean in and lean on as you navigate life day to day. God wants to be involved. God doesn't want to be separate. He doesn't want to be like, hey, here's my God arena. No, God wants to permeate, if you will. He's a good permeation. He's a good smell. He's a good fragrance to have permeate. Boy, I stepped into that, didn't I? Every pun intended. Okay, no, God wants to be involved in every arena of our life. And you may feel distance, and that's okay. God still wants you to know he loves you. He still wants to carry you. Can I tell you, so many times in my life, when we keep showing up, when we keep leaning into God's presence, somehow we look back and in the deepest parts, the lost parts, the difficult parts, the most painful parts, we'll look back and we'll see that God carried us through. Last week, we looked at Moses, and Moses is a hero. He is amazing. He's incredible. He is. You know, parted the Red Sea. Come on, the end of your days, that's not a bad thing to have written about you. I mean, God worked through him in incredible ways, but his platform was prepared for by God, as we talked about last week. But a big piece of that preparation was that God was known by Moses, and Moses had a hunger for the presence of God. When I ask you, do you have a hunger for the presence of God? God longs to be meeting with you. He longs to be encouraging you. He longs to be leading you through life's day-to-day difficulties. Exodus 33 in verses 15 and 16, Moses is having a conversation with God. Let's just level the playing field. This is a more raw moment of Moses. He's one of the heroes of the faith, but I also like it because he says some things that are just real. Moses is about to give up on the people of God. He's just led them all sorts of places, but he's grown so frustrated with them. They've been terribly annoying, terribly difficult. Moses wants to throw in the towel, and he's like, God, I'm done. And then God's like, no, don't be done. And then God's like, I'm done. And Moses is like, God, don't be done. And it's this strange conversation that's happening between them. And then in verse 15 and 16, we get just this beautiful passage of scripture. God has delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt. He's walking them through the wilderness and leading them into the promised land. But more than just giving them a title, more than just giving them an adjective to describe themselves, we get this portion. Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? I propose to you that God's presence is the distinguishing factor in your life. It's not your church membership. It's not your brownie point system that we kind of all have on a hamster wheel accruing in our relationship with God. It's none of that. It's, are you and I willing to take the invitation to be known by God and to know God? One of the curriculums we love to use here at Hillside, and especially in the small group format, especially in a relationship small group, is this awesome curriculum, tremendous best-selling book called The Five Love Languages. Let me see, how many of you are familiar with the five love languages? Okay, for those of you unfamiliar with the five love languages, I'm about to blow your mind, all right? You're going to be so grateful, especially if you are married or even are sniffing at the idea of marriage. You're going to be so grateful. This transformed how I saw relationships, and specifically my wife and I's relationship. And five love languages expresses to us, it kind of details these five areas where we receive and communicate love. All right, we receive and communicate love. Men have a tendency to be wired, and a few more cups are at different levels than others, and women have a tendency to be wired some way. But there's no right or wrong, it's just simply who you are and how you're wired. And they differ from season to season of life. But I was thinking about this message, and I was thinking about those five love languages. And I want us, this is the first time I've really ever thought about it, but when you think about your relationship with God, okay, in the context of a relationship of knowing a person, I wonder which love languages God operates in. I can tell you this, he operates really in all of them. But I really zoned in on one that I had to learn. All right? Men, if you're listening, hear these two words will change your life. The love language called quality time. Quality time. Quality time is a love language. And here's what it doesn't mean. I learned a bit of the hard way. Quality time in a relationship doesn't mean we're sitting in front of the TV watching the evening news. Quality time doesn't mean we went to the movies. Quality time means we talked to one another. And most importantly for me, I actually listened to what my spouse was communicating. And I didn't fake it. Come on. I actually knew. Come on, man, you know you've reached a new level in maturity when you actually know that you know that you know what your spouse said. You're like, man, something has happened. There's a maturing going on. I'm not faking it. I'm not faking it. I really am. And can I tell you, in our relationship with God, if you think about these five love languages, I don't want to spend an exhaustive time going through them, but there are different ones. There's physical touch. Obviously, we can take that off the table in most of our relationship with God, right? Unless he's healing us, we welcome that. We love that. But there are these others where you serve. I mean, that's important. Serving, for some people, that's the most important thing. Like, you come home and the house is vacuumed. It's like, I love you. It's the best day ever. You know, others of you don't care. You live in a mess. It's all good. That's not my love language. Now, here's the thing. Most often than not, the other person is receiving the love. You may think, nah, they don't care about serving when you need to take the test, because many times they do. But there's serving, there's gifts. But quality time was one I really had to learn about. And can I tell you, if you're not careful, the others are very pragmatic and practical. Well, I could give. Okay, I'm going to give to God. Well, I can serve. I can serve God, right? What about quality time? What about quality time when we push pause and we just sit, pray, read God's word? Do you know 10 years from now, your willingness to take that invitation is going to be the most life-altering decision you will ever make? Many times people in their Christian walk, they think Christianity is a decision. And 2,000 years on, you can't blame them. But if you were to go all the way back, you'd recognize that Jesus came to give you a relationship. He didn't come to establish a religion. He came to invite us into relationship with God. Moses, the hero of the faith, he recognized, my goodness, God, it doesn't matter that you just parted the Red Sea. It doesn't matter that you've done all these miracles. We're really grateful. We really appreciate them. But Lord, I know that the distinguishing factor, Moses would say, is your presence. I mean, think about this. Here's Moses, and what is he saying? He's saying, man, if you don't show up, I don't want a part of it. Can I tell you, in your walk with God, that's not a bad place to be. God, I'm not going to enter this relationship if you're not in it, if you're not calling me to go there. God, I'm not going to take this job. God, I'm not going to start this company or begin this business. God, I'm not even going to think about that until your presence has shown up. This walk with God, an abiding relationship, it matures your faith, and God is no longer a reactive God. And you no longer walk with a reactive faith. You know what a reactive faith is? Life is good. Daily, just tracking, things are good, everything's great, the bottom drops out. Oh God, help. We welcome that. I want you to know that the bottom falls out, help. It's a great prayer. Keep the prayer. But you were not designed to perpetually live with help prayers. You were designed for moments of intimacy with God where he can heal your broken soul. You were designed with God where you take your disappointment, your discouragement, your fears and your anxieties, and you pour your heart out to God, get in his presence and lay it down at his feet. It's the discipline, if you will, of the quiet time. It's the discipline, if you will, of the abiding relationship that Jesus willingly laid down his life for. That you and I, not that we have a new set and a new belief system, though we need that, but that we step into an abiding relationship where we can hear from the parts, if you will, of quality time. There was a part of my marriage, our relationship, that I needed to learn that only happened in quality time. It didn't happen when I was tidying up the living room or vacuuming or cleaning the toilet or doing dishes or doing laundry. Those are all important, but there's specific heart-to-heart communication that only happens in quality time. It's the same in your relationship with God. Your quiet time, God bless the radio on the way into work, but you need more than that. You need more than that. You seasoned believers, no, you learned you need more than that. Love Way FM or Spotify or getting the news, whatever you listen to, is great. But you need sacred space to meet with God. Moses had this going on. Moses established, if you think about it, how did God establish the people? He could have used any sort of distinguishing factors, but he brought this story, brought this conversation where Moses tells him, man, if you're not with us, if your presence is not with us, I'm out. I want to talk just for a few moments about the key, about how important an abiding relationship is. But before we even get to the abiding relationships, I want to address three obstacles to an abiding relationship with God. I want to talk about three things I know personally very, very well, that here's what happens. They're an obstacle to my quality time with God. And as a good pastor, I've made them memorable for you. And I use my favorite letter, P, which just so happens to be the first letter of my first name. Okay, three obstacles to an abiding relationship. Pace. Are you too busy to meet with God? I know I've been. I know this week the Lord had to slow me down on several occasions. Slowing down to be in God's presence isn't easy when we live in a world that is obsessed with busyness. Our pace of life happens so quickly that we get caught up in a culture which has attention deficit disorder. We have to move from problem to problem, fix this, fix that, create that, play this, play that. It can be exhausting. All the while, Jesus invites you and I, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. For those of you who don't know this yet, I did not know this until I was older than 30. So those of you 30 and under, grace to you. Those of you 30 and older, you know the truth of what I'm about to say. It's hard to rest and be busy. You're welcome. You didn't know that until I said it. It's hard to rest and be busy. They can't operate in the same. It's good to be productive. It's good to be hardworking. It's good to have goals, dreams, working things. Don't misread that. Those are all vitally important. But just as, maybe even if not more important, is rest, slowing down. A psychologist, he made this statement that he said, busyness isn't of the devil. In our culture, busyness is the devil. And that if you're anything like me, I'm a little in the dispersonality profile, I got a lot of high D in me, and that is means checklists are your favorite. You have to end the day knowing you accomplished one or several things to feel good, to feel like things are moving forward. Well, that personality, that's great. And I believe in it. I love it. I'm wired that way. God's not saying don't be wired that way. But what God is saying is recognize the temptation is for you to perpetually stay busy. And recognize to meet with me, you've got to slow your roll. You've got to pace problem. And then to add insult to injury, I don't know if any of you are FOMO addicts. Fear of missing out. So you check your phone far too often. Yeah. The science behind that is the science. You've probably heard about the science behind the like on social media. Yeah, guilty, right? It gets me too. The science behind the like is your brain is actually sending messages to your nervous system. And so you wonder, man, why am I checking social media so much? Well, it's the science behind it. We have a fear of missing out. Man, I don't want to miss that comment. I don't want to miss that event. I don't want to miss that experience. What if we miss God in the process of life? It's far more important in our pace. Can I tell you, God speaks to us in the stillness. God speaks to us in the quiet. God took Moses out of the palace. He brought him all the way to the desert, had his father-in-law be a priest so Moses could learn and know the presence of God. He had to slow his pace down. The palace was filled with to-dos. The palace was filled with meetings, filled with all sorts of busyness that makes you feel important, makes you feel powerful. And here's what God did. He shifted him into the desert to slow his pace so that they could have quality time together. Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." Three obstacles to an abiding relationship: pace. But the second one is also very, very important. It's perspective. Some people, I don't know if it's you that are hearing the sound of my voice, but quite frankly, at the end of the day, some people don't want to meet with God because they believe God doesn't want to meet with them. Some people have no desire to meet with God because their idea of God is he's always angry or hangry, or he's always disappointed, or you never measure up. Can I be honest? Who has friends like that? Nobody wants friends like that. Perhaps your perspective of God is wrong. Perhaps you've forgotten what John 3:16 says, "For God so..." Wow, he loved that he sent Jesus. Wow, begins to change things. God's not ticked off at you. Some people avoid church. Some people avoid anything to do with God because they live in fear that God is like their school teacher was, or God was like their real earthly father was, or mother was, or uncle, or you name it, they envision it. And the perspective has to shift. Can I tell you, you are loved by God. He formed you when you were in your mother's womb. You're not an accident. You're not haphazard. He weeps with every part of your brokenness. He is not holding your mistakes over your head. All you have to do is look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's famous at weddings, but let's project that on God, that God keeps no record of wrongs. God is love. It drives the religious tendency people crazy, so I love to say it. God is love. You were created in the image of God. Your sin separates you from fully abiding in his relationship, but that's the beauty of it. Every time you turn to God, his mercy washes you. So when you show up to God, God, forgive me, man, you know that I need your mercy. Thank you for washing me as white as snow. I'm just here to sit with you. Your perspective sometimes has to shift. I know mine had to shift, right? I know sometimes in my younger years, in South Africa, I went to an all-boys preparatory school. If you've ever seen Dead Poets Society, this was Dead Poets Society on crack. I don't know how else to say it. It was crazy. It was crazy. And I had what is known as a talking problem. Go figure. Thankfully, I no longer have that problem. About a quarter way through the message now, so we're good. But in that all-boys preparatory school, they couldn't help it, but they began dropping seeds of how I understood authority. And man, I wasn't close. I didn't care for teachers. I didn't care for authority. But slowly but surely, God has had to rewire, reteach. And man, your perspective needs to shift. And can I encourage you, maybe your perspective needs to shift. There are words your future needs to hear. You need to hear them in the presence of God. There are songs you need to listen to. You need to meet with God in his presence. Let his presence begin to distinguish and be a distinctive over your life. I've seen people make little pivots in business because of the presence of God. I've seen people step into relationships because of the presence of God. I've seen people exit relationships because of the presence of God. And what does that mean? Really, it means what Paul writes in Galatians, where he said, don't just know about God. He said, stay in step with his Holy Spirit. And God will take you from where you are. I don't care how young you are in the faith. If you meet with God, you have just the same access I do. I have just the same access the Pope does. All of us have access to the living God. But yet so often our pace, so often our perspective, it needs to shift. And this final one is, you're going to love me for this. Patience. Patience. And what I mean by patience isn't that you necessarily need a take 12 hours out of your day. That's not what I'm saying. Patience with perseverance. And man, I did some of the prayers. I listened to some of the music. I didn't feel anything. That's good. You're not wired for feelings. By and large, you're not wired. God meets us, and listen, he uses our feelings. We are wired to have feelings. Don't mishear me on that. But patience with yourself. It can be easy to look to the left, to look to the right. Maybe you're in worship and you're just, this is you in worship, and that's great. But you look to your right, you say, man, why people, they must really love God. I don't know. I don't know if they do or not. But all I know is that you have the same access to God. He wants to meet with you. It could be, man, they seem so mature, you know, in the faith. They have a British accent. Man, God must really be close to them. It's a wink to my parents. Welcome online. But I say that the temptation could be to look to the right, look to the left, and not recognize, hey, just keep fumbling forward. When it's painful, when there's loss, when there's difficulty, when there's brokenness. Divorce, when we've lost parents, grandparents, we've lost the job, when we're dealing with sickness. It's real. It's real. It happens. But you're not alone. God wants to carry you through it. How do you meet him in those moments? You position yourself. You keep showing up day in and day out. God, I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to be, man, can I speak to you? You want to be a husband. You want to be a father. You don't want to just be a provider financially. That's important. Good golly, that's responsible. But you want to be known for knowing God. And the good news is, he longs to be known by you. He loves you with every fiber of your being. And I want to encourage you that we can move beyond these. We can be like Moses and Joshua. We won't read all the passages now, but Exodus 33, 7 through 11. Remarkable passage. And it's how Moses would leave the camp, and he would go to what's called this tent of meeting. And his sidekick, Joshua, who would actually lead them into the promised land. So Moses would go and meet. And then Moses, you know, he's getting hangry. He's getting tired. He would leave. But Joshua would remain by the side. You know what that is? That's a longing. That's a hunger for the presence of God. And when it came time for the people to go into the promised land, who was called upon? Wasn't necessarily the best looking. Wasn't necessarily the strongest. It was the person who had been in the presence of God, Joshua. So I want to conclude with a couple practical points, because I like to be a practical pastor. I love what I've shared so far. That's not arrogance. I just love sharing from the Word of God. But I want to share something that can make a difference for you tomorrow. I want to encourage you that today you can begin an abiding relationship with God. You can have really nothing on the table, no experience, other than you don't know how to pin it down, but you feel something on the inside like God saying, draw near. Draw near. Come close. Come close. You may hear him like, God, I want to meet with you. I want to be with you. Can I tell you? That's good. We want to take that little flame and begin to fan it so it becomes a fire, because there are secrets that God wants to whisper to your heart. There are words of affirmation that you may come from a past where you heard you were one thing and God's whispering your identity to your soul. That happens in his presence. How does it happen? This is going to seem very, very elementary, but I want to encourage you. Set a date with God and show up every time. One of the things I do every morning, I have a set time, I have a set place, and I have a plan. Just think about that. I have a set time. Usually I'm good on 2 out of 3. I try to do 3 out of 3, but I have a morning time. If I'm on it, I have an afternoon moment. And then in the evening, I meet with God. And what I found is it begins a thread cycling through my day. And it's begun a thread cycling through my week. And it's begun a thread cycling through the months and the years. Some of you have been held by this thread in 2020. 2020 hasn't shaken you. For others of you, it's shaken and you don't know what to hold on to. I want to encourage you. The thing to hold on to is an abiding relationship with God. He wants to meet with you. Like, here's the cool thing. Listen, you can show up. Listening online, you can show up in your pajama pants. And it's a judgment-free zone. Like, you can wear your slippers. You can have bad breath. I don't care. Your hair could be a mess. God wants to meet with you. But I encourage you, have a set time and keep it. Corrie Ten Boom, a remarkable evangelist, incredible story of how she survived the Holocaust and forgave everybody. She said, set a time with God and keep it. Don't be a no-show. And I don't say that in a judgy, condemnatory way. No, I just set a time, man. 6:30, 6:45. Boom, I'm going to meet with God. And then I encourage people, this may sound a little silly, but it's a set place. Like, you have a place you take in football, right? You have a place you take in HGTV, somebody. You have a place that you go play with your pets. I'm just trying. You can see I'm trying to reach everybody. All right. a set place. For me, it's upstairs guest room when we don't have guests. I'm not awkward, all right? But it's the upstairs guest room. I have thought about, never mind. Okay, upstairs guest room. One of the guys in our men's group, he may be watching online, Rob was sharing. Rob had some neighbors. And Rob was sharing in our men's group about these neighbors who had what's called a prayer closet. Quick show of hands. How many are familiar with a prayer closet? Okay, prayer closet, that you know, it's the reference point. Yeah, I pray. Yeah, I'm gonna go to my prayer closet. When I say that, which I don't, but if I did, I'm going upstairs, sitting in my nice chair, I'm comfortable, everything's good. He had these neighbors. He went over to the neighbors who were from a different continent, and he's talking with them, and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And he goes into one of their rooms, and the closet was open. And he's like, whoa, what is that? Prayer closet was quite literal for them. They had they were Christian. They were fiery, passionate people of God living for him. And man, they had a prayer closet. It was next level. You don't have to necessarily have a prayer closet. You can have a chair. You can have a place where it's still, where it's quiet, where you can be consistent. It may not happen day one. It may happen day 41, but this is my guarantee and my promise to you. You'll be grateful when he shows up. You'll be grateful when he whispers what your soul needs to hear. In American culture, this is strange for people. For the Hebrew culture and for the early Christians, this was normal. They had hours of prayer. They were consistent. Then one of the hang-ups I've seen is that people, quite simply, they have no idea what to say, right? Speaking of a date, you ever been on that and you don't know what to say? And it's clear the other person has no idea what to say. At least now you have your phones. You're just like, well, this is weird. You know, back. Here's the thing. You may not know what to say to God. That's okay. He's not looking for perfection. Depending on your church background, he's not looking. You may have been taught, God, you got to say this. He's not looking for that. He's looking to meet with you, where you are, with what you have for the day. And your soul needs a place to pour out the negativity, to pour out the false identity, to pour out the lies that have been spoken over you, to pour out the bitterness. And that's with your time with God. We're going to close. I've got these in the back for you. If you ever wonder what I pray on a daily basis, wonder no more. I have it available for you in the back. But this is it's called a liturgy, which simply means work or community work, but it's basically prayers I pray, both more recent and others centuries, even millennia old. There's some of the prayers of the early church. But what this does is, here's what happens. I'm meeting with God. I'm saying the prayers. I'm reading passages of scripture. I'm not simply showing up and telling God what he needs to do for me right now. There are moments I do that, that I have to do that. There are moments where we need a miracle, and God, I'd love to spend the next 90 days praying, but I need you to move. We got help. We love those prayers. But in order to take your prayers from help to maybe something more consistently, we've put these in the back. They're available. You can just grab them, and you go through systematically, just through some prayers. They will give you words that maybe you never knew you had, or words you've never known you needed. Over the last 5 years of my life, these prayers have helped me experience the peace of God more than any other season of life. It comes by being consistent. I want to encourage you. You have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. You were divinely and uniquely created for such a time as this. But it's not going to be purely possible to fulfill your dreams, to fulfill your purpose in your own strength and with your own levels of excellence and abilities. No, it's only going to be possible because of the presence of God in your life and moving to those around you. So I want to encourage you. I end with Psalm 42:1. May it be our prayer. Why don't we say it together? I think we can bring it up. This would be great. Let's say this, 1, 2, 3. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Lord, we want to know you more. We want to know you in a greater level. We want to walk with peace, Lord, because the world needs the peace that comes from Christ alone. Father, I thank you for every person here present and online listening to this later in the day. God, I thank you that right now, Lord, you would reveal yourself to them. Father, that you would reveal just how loved and known they are by you. And that, God, the small, insignificant things that they may have on their mind, none of them are insignificant to you. You care about every detail. You want to breathe hope into every hopeless situation. God, you want to create a masterpiece out of every mistake. God, you want to bring your glory where there's guilt. God, you want to bring peace, God, where there are problems. Father, I speak hope to your people, strength to your people. Right now, just in this moment, I want to encourage you, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, if you're here in the sound of my voice and you need to step into relationship with God, I want to give you that invitation right now. Say these words, God, I need you. I need you. I recognize my sin. I recognize that I'm a sinner. And I ask for your forgiveness. I give you my past, my present, and my future. I recognize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for bearing my sin on the cross and giving me a hope and a future. I'm saved. May I walk full of your spirit and in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.